Let's welcome Matt Cook to the starting lineup. Happy belated 4th of July. What does the Cook family do to celebrate July 4?
This July 4, we were on the road traveling to Chicago for a baseball tournament.
Are you a proponent of making sure the kids play more than hockey?
I'm a proponent of them doing what they want to do. Jackson played hockey, but was never pushed, and ultimately chose baseball.
Are you a manager of the ball team?
I help.
What does that mean?
What does it mean? You help? I mean, are you in the dugout?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm in the dugout. Yep.
You wear the uniform?
No.
Too cool?
I don't wear baseball pants. I wear
That's what we wanted.
What age is baseball for Jackson?
He's 14 now, but he's playing on a 15-year-old travel team this weekend. He got asked to play up, so.
That's his sport.
He's pretty good. He's playing up a year ahead, so he's obviously doing something right.
He's a catcher, and his biggest strength is hitting, so.
You're reluctant to hand out the bouquets to your son, aren't you?
Tough love.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
No, you know, you just, I don't know, like, I'm not bragging or whatever, I guess, and, if he wants to play further on, there's still a long road and a lot of work that needs to be done, and I'll support him in that journey, but stay humble too.
Yeah, no, you know what, Cookie, it's interesting because Bertuzzi's on the show every Tuesday morning, and Tag, obviously, it's his draft year, but, you know, you get the same thing from Todd, and I think in talking to pro athletes, once you've made it, and you made a living playing in the toughest league, and the percentages are so small to get to be an NHL player. I get the sense from most parents, although C-Mac, that being said, we saw Marty St. Louis coaching in Edmonton. He seemed riled up behind the bench. That when you've done it, if you've actually made it, is it logical that the pro athletes kind of just sit back and there's no push from you? Hey, you support them and everything, but you're not going to say, hey, this kid, you're going to be talking about him in 4 or 5 years. Just because you realize how tough it is?
Yeah, I think there is a recognition there of the difficulty of the path or the journey. And just because you're good at 12 or 14 or 16 doesn't mean you're going to fully make it. And I played with guys that were maybe more talented or better than I was, but some of that has to do with opportunity as well. And you know, I was fortunate that back when I was not drafted and signed a contract with Toronto, that it didn't get sent to the league in time. And then I was drafted to Vancouver, where they hadn't made the playoffs since 94. And we're looking to create some change. And it was an opening for me.
Matt Cook with us here on Sportsnet 650. Troy Stetcher was one of 44 players in the NHL who filed for salary arbitration yesterday. You went through arbitration with the Canucks, did you not?
No, we never actually got to it.
Okay, so I got bum information. But you avoided the process?
Yes.
Okay. Which is what most players, I think, want to do, considering the tough love you can get from organizations.
I don't think either, to be honest with you, I don't think either side wants to go to arbitration because a player wants to go and get his worth, but he doesn't want to go to arbitration because the team just basically degrades him. And then how are you supposed to go and play for that team when you basically hear their honest opinion of you?
Have you had teammates who
realistically?
Yeah, have you had teammates that have been there and go, oh man, you won't believe how they just ran me over?
Yeah, I mean, Eric Halla recently with Minnesota, and after the hearing, he basically sees the assistant GM, and the assistant GM says, you know, that's not how we truly feel. We're just trying to keep your number down.
So, thanks, but no thanks. Like, thanks, yeah, nothing for, personal.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not a fun process for, especially for a player, because, and I relate that to, you know, when I was traded from Vancouver. Like, I thought I was going to stay my whole career in Vancouver. I loved Stan Smeal and hoped to be him, you know, a guy that stayed there and played for one team his entire career. And when I didn't, then I realized that it was hard, but then it's a business, you know, and the numbers are almost most important.
The numbers are something that's been talked about here a lot with the free agent signings of Roussel and Beagle. Did you match up a lot with Jay Beagle? You have any memories of any of these guys?
Yeah, Beagle, I played against him, Pittsburgh, Washington.
Good, solid player as far as a guy to compete with?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to do all the right things. Very good defensively. Won't lose a lot of faceoffs. I mean, you're really good in the faceoff circle, which is, you know, something you have to have. I mean, you look at 4 years ago, Mark Letestu, who signed in Edmonton because he could win faceoffs, you know. And even Gordon did the same thing in Edmonton because he was so strong in the faceoff circle. There's a demand for that skill, and Jay's really good at that. But he's a heart and soul guy. He's a guy that's going to go out and penalty kill, put his face in front of slap shot if he needs to save a goal. He's going to fight if, you know, he needs to stand up for a teammate. I mean, he's going to do all those little things that aren't necessarily statistical but matter on a team.
Matt Cook with us here on Sportsnet 650. You were a guy who was kind of an infuriating player to line up against. What sort of memories do you have matching up against a guy like Antoine Roussel, who was kind of cut from the same cloth to a degree?
Yeah, different degree if I had to say, I guess. He's a guy that creates that ire. A lot of it comes from his play after the whistle. When the game's not on, what he does, how he acts, what he says. And so it creates this negative attention. And obviously, if they're worried about him or if they're upset about him, thinking about him, wanting to get retribution on him for something he did, then he's doing his job, because they're not thinking about going out and scoring a goal or playing the game. But his approach is just quite a bit different than mine.
You would, well, see, some people listen to that go, well, that's what you did, but you
know,
yeah, I'm going, but
I don't go, you, that's not how I roll.
But you made it very clear he did it after the whistle. Did you think you didn't do stuff after the whistle?
Well, a lot of the times stuff happened after the whistle, but it was because of what happened during the play. So when I treat Joe Sakic the same way as I do Adam Foote or Dan Hynoad in Colorado, people get upset. Something happens after the whistle, an altercation comes, but it's because of what happened during what I did during the play.
You like those signings for the Canucks and those kind of key players that are not necessarily going to light up the score sheet, but will maybe make this team tighter?
Well, I think that, Vancouver's done a great job, you know, drafting and finding young players that can score and can play. But at the end of the day, you can't have 20 guys like that. So you have to fill a roster to create this team atmosphere that have some grit, have some glue, you know, and then have your scorers. And obviously, in assessing their needs, that's what they feel they need the most. So they went out and got it to try and create the team dynamic.
Thank you for this. Do the kids a favor. Go full uniform in the dugout. I think that's probably what they need. Maybe a little chew in the mouth as well, just to inspire them.
Yeah, I don't... And definitely don't chew seeds sometimes. I giggle every time I see another parent or coach on the other side wearing
come on full we'll uniform. Send us a picture next time we talk to you.
Really hike the pants up high there too.
Oh, you want me to wear knickers?
Sure. Yeah.
Thanks, Cookie.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
See you, all right.
There's Matt Cook. Sportsnet 650.